Well, good morning, Waleska. It is good. Man, that was a good morning. Thank you all. That was like in unison. Everyone was together on that one. That was a good one. I am so grateful for the Gideons. Dick, thank you so much for being here. My father-in-law is a Gideon as well. And so he loves it. And he loves giving out booklets. I think my kids probably have 6 different Gideon New Testaments themselves. Every time he sees one, he's giving one out. So I love the work of the Gideons. It is so wonderful to see that they are in our schools or outside of our schools handing out Bibles and making sure that people have them when they need them. We always need them. We have so much this morning to be thankful for. Our church family has a lot to be thankful for. If you look around, you probably see some faces that you haven't seen in a little while. We have Donald and Miss Ruby and Edna and Miss Jessie and Ann is with us. So great to see all of you, my church family, and not only you guys, but also my family. My family's back with us. Sawyer's good. He's on, what, day 10 or something like that. And I would say he's probably 85 to 90% of the way back, but his throat still hurts. And so, yeah, if he leaves, it's okay. You know, he'll come back. but I'm glad that they're here with us this morning. It is so good to see everyone. You know, this week is about family. And so this week, I pray that you are going to have a blast with your family. I know a lot of us will. I know you're waiting on Artie to come in. Janet's having her son come in. So, guys, before we start this morning, can we just realize something? The family, your family, is a gift and a grace from God. So this week, just cherish it. Enjoy your family members. Enjoy your moms and dads, kids, enjoy your parents, enjoy the grandparents. It is a gift from God. So if you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? This morning, our passage comes from Jonah chapter 4. We'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city, and he sat at the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant. So it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant? For which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night? And should not I pity that great city in which there are more than 100 who do not know their right hand from their left? And also, church, this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. The story of Jonah, hear this is kind of the outline. The story of Jonah is about a message he didn't want to give, a people he didn't want to save, a God he didn't want to serve, and a life he didn't want to live unless he got his way. And the result of all of that was bitterness and anger, not thankfulness and not joy. Let's pray this morning. Father, open our hearts. Father, we come to your church every week. And Lord, I pray that as we sit here this morning, this is not just another church service. This is not just another sermon. Father, my prayer is that you do something in our hearts, that we are different when we leave here. Lord, may this not be just tradition that we come here on Sunday morning, but Father, may we inside of our hearts say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, your story of Jonah has spoken to me during these past 5 weeks. And so I pray once more, Father, that it speaks to us. May what happened in my study come out in the pulpit, change our hearts, Father. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. So here we are in our last Sunday on Jonah, and it's been encouraging to me to go through Jonah, and I pray that it has been for you. It has forced me to ask some questions about some things going on in my life, and it has forced me to ask the question, where am I fleeing from God in my life? What are the areas of my life where I'm being disobedient? Am I being genuine in my faith towards this God? Am I passionately serving him? You know, to the true Christian, we're fine. True Christians, they're fine with asking these questions to themselves because they take their relationship with Christ very serious. They're always wanting to get better. But to someone who is just playing games with God, they don't like asking themselves these questions. They don't like the way it makes them feel. And Jonah is a perfect example of someone who has been playing games with God. And who knows, maybe Jonah just really liked the status of being a prophet. He just liked the idea of having the title of prophet. Maybe he thought, maybe this just brings me recognition. I look really good and important to Israel. Maybe his status as a prophet made him think that he was more important or more highly of himself. So while it's true that Jonah held the title of a prophet, his heart was far from the position. His title may have confused him about what was really going on in his heart. And if you read the story of Jonah, it's the story of a man who is playing games with God. You know, the most basic thing that a prophet is to do is to be the mouthpiece of God, to proclaim God's message. And that's literally what a prophet does. He just speaks on behalf of God. It's someone that is appointed to deliver a specific message that God has given to them. And Jonah, he didn't really do that. And in chapter 1, he ran from the job that God had given to him. And in chapter 3, he did the bare minimum requirements of being a prophet. He reluctantly gave a half-hearted message to these Ninevites. But God still used the message that Jonah gave to the Ninevites. And so the first point that we see this morning is that Jonah had a message that he didn't want to give. Jonah had a message he didn't want to give. And Jonah's reason for not sharing this message was because he didn't want the Ninevites to know about the graciousness of his God. Jonah wanted them destroyed. He wanted them destroyed. So that was his reason. But in America, I think there's a different reason why many Christians don't share their faith today. Here in America, I don't know that it's necessarily the same reason why Jonah didn't share his. Many Christians today have an extremely low view of preaching. They have an extremely low opinion of what preaching is. Maybe they see it as outdated. Maybe they see it as unnecessary. Maybe they feel like they've got better things to do in their life. They just really want it to get over with and go on to the better things. And I know that I preach longer than most people or some people, right? I know that I do. But really, if you look at this, like if you really, really think about it, how long is too long and how short is too short? For some people, the sermon can't be long enough. And for others, it can't be short enough. Some people just want fast food Christianity. They want a drive-through sermon that they can come in and pick up this message while they're along to the better things in their life. And the truth is that there are many people in churches all across America that sit in churches every single week that simply don't want to be there. They really don't want to hear a message at all. And so many people in the American church have an extremely low view of preaching, of what happens on Sunday morning. And church, anyone that has a low view of preaching will likely have a low view of sharing the gospel as well. If they have a low view of what happens at church on Sunday morning and the proclamation of God's word, likely they will have a low view of doing that and sharing the gospel with other people throughout the week. In March of 2022, I put out this Facebook post in a group for people that lived in Pickens County. I don't know if you know this, but Pickens County, the stats, has an extremely low religious rate. State of Georgia, I guess some study somehow, and they found that 52% of Georgians are religious. Well, if you look at the same stats for Pickens County, it's only 25% religious. So it's half as religious as the rest of the state. And so being a pastor, being someone that loves this area, I just wanted to know why. And so I asked the question on this Facebook group asking, hey, why is this? Why do you think this is that we're less than half as religious as the rest of the state? And there were a lot of comments that came in because of this question. But one comment stood out among all of them. And I want you to hear what the comment was. Please hear this morning. Because the best sermons are lived, not spoken. I've been closer to God sitting on my tractor than I've ever been in church. And this comment got 43 likes, probably 40 more than any of the other comments on the whole post. It got 43 likes and loves. People loved this comment. I mean, because it sounds great to say that the best sermons are lived and not spoken, that someone is closer to God sitting on their tractor than they are inside of a church. And this comment gives a great visual image, right? It's the image of this young man sitting on a tractor and the sun setting in the background with a straw hat with his hands clasped and he's alone with his God. And it looks really, really great. But church, I want to ask you a question this morning. Is that comment true? Is it true? Is it accurate? And I want to say something really strong this morning about that mentality. This kind of mentality and spirituality does massive damage to the church. It does massive damage to the church because there are so many Christians out there that agree with this. The best sermons are the ones that are never spoken. They're the ones that are lived out. Church, this statement radically undermines the preaching of the gospel and the life of a church. Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a spoken message. And yes, of course, it is something that is lived out. But God didn't tell Jonah, hey, just go live a righteous life in front of the Ninevites and everything will be all right. He didn't say that. He said, here's my message. Go give it to them. He told them, you've got to go share this with them. And just for a second, I want you to think about what would have happened if Jonah had agreed with this Facebook comment. What if Jonah had agreed with it? He said, God, God, the best sermons are those that are lived out. They're not ones that are actually spoken. So I'm going to go to Nineveh and I'm going to let them see me. That's all that really needs to be done. I don't need to say anything, God. And church, if you think about that, do you think anybody would have been saved under the ministry of Jonah in Nineveh? I mean, God would have had to send another messenger, right? Where God's message would actually be proclaimed. And if the best sermons, please hear this, if the best sermons are lived out, then why ever preach? Why ever preach? Why ever share the gospel? What's the point of it? And church, I want to share with you this morning why we preach here and why we share the gospel out there. Please hear this morning. It's Romans 10, 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's hearing. So church, do not buy the lie that's out there that the best sermons are the ones that are just never spoken. It's simply not biblical. It's simply not there. This does damage to the church. And so how can I say that this kind of comment would make damage to the church? Because if the best sermons are never spoken, and you can be closer to God on a tractor than you are inside of a church surrounded by all the other believers, then guys, why would we ever need the church? If that's true, then why would we ever need the church? We wouldn't need preaching and we wouldn't need each other. And you and I, through God's word, he tells us that we need preaching. He tells us that we need each other. Your tractor isn't enough. Sitting on the tractor with you and God is great. You know, I think about my own personal times with God, and some of the sweetest times I ever have with God is sitting alone in a car, driving, and it's just me and God. And yes, tears of joy and gratitude just stream down my face thinking about the goodness of God. But guys, those times, as sweet as they are, they will never replace my time with you. That I'm with the body of Christ together. This is the body. When I'm alone, I'm not with the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body, but I'm not with the body. So it is true that the closest that I will ever be to God is not alone. It is with you guys. This side of heaven, the closest I will be to God is with you, Christ's body. We need the church. We need the church because we need each other and we need the preached word. You know, I've heard people say before, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Well, let's just think about that with like fighting hunger. So if you're out feeding the homeless or someone that's hungry, like, and somebody says, hey, you know, feed the hungry, and if necessary, use food. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Or you know, pay your bills, and if necessary, use money. No, feeding the hungry requires food. Paying your bills requires money. Sharing the gospel requires speaking. Sharing the gospel requires preaching. And church, we cannot be Jonahs. We've got to cherish the message that God has given to us to share. Jonah didn't want to share the message because He didn't want the message to benefit those who would hear it. And I want you to hear what is going on in Jonah's heart here. Jonah, he didn't want to save these people that he was called to evangelize. He didn't want the people to experience the blessings of God. And in Jonah 4, chapter 4, verse 2, he actually says this. So if you've got your Bible open, he actually says this. He says, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." This is Jonah's way of saying, "I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that you were going to save them. I should have never left my home country because this is what was going to happen." And I want you to listen to what Jonah's heart was. This is Jonah's heart now. Jonah says, "Lord, this is why I disobeyed you. Here's the reason why I disobeyed you, because I knew that if I started evangelizing those out there, my church, my country would be filled with all kinds of people that I didn't want to have in here with me." He says, "I knew that if I started evangelizing out there, there would be people out there with real sin, and they need to get that right before they come in here." He says, "I like my church the way that it is. I like my country the way that it is. And if they come in here, things will change." Jonah only wanted the Israelites to be saved. Came from the same culture, came from the same background, came from the same country. He only wanted them. Thursday night, I got to preach to a whole group of around 60 men, and man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it greatly. I was there with Brian, and these men are covered in gang and prison tattoos. They've got track marks running up and down their arms from drugs, and guys, they've been in places you and I didn't even know existed. All of these men are in recovery from drug and alcohol abuse. But guys, I was so encouraged by them. I was so encouraged by hearing them sing as Brian led them. I was so encouraged by hearing them engage with the preached word and yelling out amen when they heard something that lifted their spirits. They ate up the preached word. And you know what I challenged them with? I told them, I said, "Guys, as soon as you get out of here, you need to find a church and join it. As soon as you get out of here, you need to latch yourself on to Christ's church. You need to lead your family, and you need to do everything you can to lead the church that God has called you to." I told them, I said, "The church is in desperate need of men. The church in America is in desperate need of men to step up and lead God's people." I told them, "Step up, even with your tattoos, even with all of the baggage, step up and lead God's people." Jonah would see these men and he says, "Not them, Jesus. Not them. Jesus, anyone but them. Have you seen them, Jesus? They're Ninevites. Not them." Church, we need to ask ourselves, do we want to see sinners, real sinners, come to Christ? Do we want to have real sinners with us? I pray the answer in the heart of you sitting there this morning is yes. Do we want to see real sinners come to Christ in here with all of their baggage? They come through these doors and they want to hear of Jesus Christ and experience his family. Jonah didn't. Now you may be asking yourself, why is Pastor asking us this question if we want to see sinners come to Christ? Of course, we want to see sinners come to Christ. But I want you to think about it this morning, because if a whole entire book of the Bible is dedicated to sharing with us The story of a prophet of God who didn't want to see outsiders come to second, that there are churches out there in America, all over the world, that feel the exact same way Jonah did. They were fine with their people to come into Christ, but not the outsiders. There's Jonahs still out there today. Jonah, he didn't want to serve his God either. They didn't want to serve his God. In chapter 4, when he was in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed this absolutely fantastic prayer. But now in chapter 4, we find that Jonah's heart was just absolutely just far, far from God. And chapter 4 reveals what was going on with Jonah all along. Chapter 4 reveals the heart of anger that Jonah had towards God. Jonah's anger burned within him. Jonah fled from God in chapter 1. And now in chapter 4, Jonah leaves and he goes outside of the city. And in verse 4, God asks him, "Do you do good to be angry, Jonah? Is it good for you that you are angry?" Jonah doesn't even answer the question from God. He just jumps up, runs out of the city. But in verse 5, we see what's going on. It says, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now, God asked Jonah a question that Jonah doesn't answer. Jonah leaves the city to wait to see what God was going to do. I want you, don't miss this picture. Jonah leaves to go to the east of the city. He says, "God, I am done. I did what you told me to do. Now, God, what is your next move? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch this city. I'm going to see what you're going to do. God, I'm done." This is not the heart of service. This is not the heart of a man who wants to be obedient and honor his Savior, his God. This is not the heart of someone who wants to be all in and be a prophet for God. Now, Jonah held the title of prophet. He says, "God, I did my job." But did he really? He says, "God, I did what you told me." Only he did it half-hearted, right? "God, I know that you called me to Nineveh, but I'm done. I'm going to get comfortable over here in the shade. I'm going to sit right here in the cheap seats and watch instead of being on the field playing where you called me to be. Listen, where I can still see you at work, but I don't have to be involved anymore. I'm going to watch you from afar. God, I know I'm a prophet, and I know that you called me to be a prophet. I know that I hold the title, but God, I am done." Church, when God calls us, when God calls you to be on the field playing, don't get comfortable in the cheap seats. When God calls you to jump in and do something, don't get comfortable in the cheap seats where you can watch everything go on. Don't get angry when God calls you to play a certain position. Don't get angry that you are being called to serve the Lord. Get in the game. Go serve Him. And Jonah is the story of a man who would rather sit in the stands and watch others enjoy his God than get in the game and make some plays himself. Listen. What we're seeing here in Jonah chapter 4 is a man who lost the fire for the game. At this moment in Jonah's life, Jonah was a prophet by title only. Lastly, in chapter 4, we see that Jonah didn't want to live his life anymore unless he got his way. If you look at verse 3, it says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The therefore here in this is critical. The therefore right here in this verse is critical. Jonah is saying, "Therefore, because I didn't get my way, God, I'm done. Because I didn't get my way, just let me die." Jonah doesn't just talk about his death once. It wasn't something that he said in just the heat of the moment and moved on from. Jonah's desire to die was something that he actually thought through. He mentions it multiple times. In verse 8, Jonah asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." All because Jonah didn't get his way. Now, if you think back to Jonah chapter 2, where he prayed this prayer, Jonah talks a big game in this prayer. He says, "My God, in my distress, I called to you and you answered me. And even though the storms and the waves, they come crashing all upon me, I will see your temple again. God, I was in the pit and I prayed and you heard me. Let me sing a song of thanksgiving to you. Let me live a life of sacrifice to you. God, what I have vowed, I will keep." Those are all the things that he says in chapter 2. And now in chapter 4, the real Jonah stands up. Notice, in chapter 2, he was thankful. But was he? Was Jonah really thankful in chapter 2? Church, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And I want you to remember that real thankfulness is not displayed in times of great prayers, like Jonah did in chapter 2. Real thankfulness is not displayed when we're getting everything that we want from God. Real thanksgiving and a genuine heart of thanksgiving sticks around when times get tough, when you and I are not getting what we want. Genuine thanksgiving lasts throughout the difficult times. And if God has saved your soul from hell, you have every reason to be thankful. When he asks you to step up to do something, I don't think he's asking too much. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of our obedience. So when you guys are sitting around the dinner table this week and you're praying about all the great things that God has done for you, yes, he has done great things, and we need to praise him for those great things. We need to thank him and be grateful for those great things that we can't even think of how many great things that he has given to us. But guys, we also need to thank him that he has called us to be his servants. Even through the tough things, even through the times where it's hard to serve him, we need to thank him that he has called us to serve him. You know, the other night when I was talking with these men, Brian sang the song, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." And I got up there and asked them, I said, "Guys, do y'all mean it? Do y'all mean the song, 'Wherever He Leads, I'll Go'?" I think sometimes in church we sing a lot of songs from time to time that we don't really agree with, right? We don't really mean, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." For Jonah, that wasn't true. Jonah was trying to travel 1,500 miles away from where God was trying to lead him. And he was a prophet of God. "Wherever he leads, I'll go." I think sometimes what we really mean by "wherever he leads, I'll go" is this. You know, God, if I have time, I'll go. You know, God, if it's something that I want to do, I'll do it. If it's something I agree with, God, I'll go then. If you lead me to something that I want to do, if you lead me to something that I'm passionate about, yeah, I'll go. I'll sign up for that. When we sing songs like "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," it's open-ended. Wherever He leads. Do we believe that? As Christians, do we believe that? I believe Jonah sang this song in chapter 2. Jonah sang this song. He says, "God, wherever you lead, I'll go." He did. Eventually, he did. In chapter 3, he did go to Nineveh. His heart wasn't in it, though. He didn't. Now we see in chapter 4, he says, "God, I'm at the end of my days. Just let me die. I'm at the end of my days. Just let me die. Sit here, no more service, no more hardships. Don't ask me to do anything, God. I'd rather just watch you." I want you to hear this point vividly this morning. Jonah had his reasons not to get on board with God, and they all seemed right to him. And guys, we too, if we are not careful, we'll think up 1,001 different reasons why we shouldn't get up and go and do what he has called us to do. Why we shouldn't be doing something that he has called us to. And when we live our lives believing that all of our excuses are valid reasons just to sit on the sidelines and not get involved in the things that God has called us to, guys, please hear this. The result of living a life of saying no to God in that way, the result is you will be at the end of your life like Jonah with bitterness in your heart towards the God who gave you the assignment to begin with. The end of your life, you will live this self-centered existence where you sit on the throne. And doing what God has called you to do is a hindrance to what you want to do. And the end result is no longer appreciating the goodness of God in your life. That's how Jonah 4 ends. It ends abrupt. We want a resolution to the story. We want some bright, shining thing to happen inside of the story of Jonah. But guys, it's not bright and shining. It ends very sad, very abruptly, very strangely. And it ends with this whole point of the story leading up to one humongous point. In this chapter, we read about the plant. And many people make a lot of different thoughts about the plant. But church, I want you to see the plant at the end of chapter 4 as just this big setup to God's grand point of the story. God uses this story of the plant to reveal this massive truth to Jonah. So I want you to think about it, give you a little bit of the setting again. He's sitting outside of the city. He's waiting to see what God's next move is going to be. The Bible says that it was really hot and Jonah was really uncomfortable, and God in his compassion sent Jonah this huge plant to tower over him to protect him, and the Bible actually says to save him from his discomfort. I want you to think for a second how many times God saved him throughout this story. He was saving him at the end, and the next day, God takes away this plant that he gave to him. He made this worm come and eat and devour the plant so he no longer had the shade, and Jonah is sitting there waiting in the hot sun. The scripture says that the sun was beating down on his head. This scorching wind came and made him miserable. This heat made him angry. And here he is outside of the city, and he wants to die. In verse 9, God asked him, "Do you do well to be angry for this plant?" Well, what a strange question. Do you do well to be angry for this plant? God asked him specifically about the plant. Do you miss the plant, Jonah? How about that plant? He no longer had it to protect him from the sun. Jonah says, "Yeah, I'm angry about the plant. I'm angry enough even to die." And right after Jonah says this, there's two verses and the entire book ends. Listen to these two verses. This is the climax of the story, so listen up. God says, "You pity the plant from which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle?" Guys, this is God's big point in the whole story. You know what God is saying to Jonah here? Please hear this. He's saying, "Jonah, you loved your comfort. You loved your comfort more than the lost people of Nineveh. You loved your own comfort more than these hundreds of thousands of people that I called you to go. You had more pity on that stupid plant that I gave to you than you did on human beings. You were more angry over the death of a plant, and you never shed one tear over a whole country that I was about to destroy." I want you to hear God's point again. He says, "Jonah, You loved your own personal comfort, your own desires, and your own opinions more than you did the lost people of Nineveh. That's his point. He says you were totally fine to sit there on the sidelines and watch them burn. You even set up a little booth to watch it happen. Just as long as you sat in the shade that I, your God, provided for you, you were fine. But as soon as that was gone, as soon as your comfort was gone, now you're ready to die. God says, Jonah, do you hate them that much and love me that little? That's his point. And the story of Jonah is a story for the church today. And yeah, it's in the Old Testament, but it is absolutely applicable to the church today. And God, through the story of Jonah, he's asking the church, do we love our comfort more than the people that God has called us to? That's the point. Jonah was being asked to go to the foreign country. He's not going to be comfortable. He was going to a culture that he didn't like and he didn't understand. He wasn't going to be comfortable. To a people that were vicious and brutal to outsiders. He wasn't going to be comfortable. Jonah was never supposed to be comfortable with the assignment that God gave to him. It was never about Jonah's comfort, but Jonah was supposed to be obedient. And we learned last week that God has called us to Waleska. This is our city because this is where God has placed us. We talked a little bit about some of the things that we wanted to do around here, like the trees and maybe some painting and updating with the walls or even some of our technology. There's some things that we need to do. And church, getting better and improving ourselves is never comfortable. It's never comfortable. Not a one of us in here should desire comfort. It's not where we need to be, where we can grow in Christ. Church, my desire for us as a church is not that we're comfortable. My desire for us as a church is that we are obedient. Amen? That's where we need to strive to be. Obedient, not comfortable. The point that God was trying to make with Jonah is this. There is far more at stake than just a little bit of discomfort. There's far more at stake. The very souls that Jonah was called to preach to were at stake. And for us, the souls that are in our community, the souls that are outside of these walls, they're at stake. Trey told you a little bit about December 7th and the Christmas tree lighting. Guys, this is kind of a Nineveh call for us to go out there and share the gospel. We got 5 minutes. Let's make the best of it. I pray that you are all there handing out cards about our church and how they can be here throughout the Advent season, that we're making connections in the community. I pray that we will do this. We need to have a presence out there. As we close down our study of Jonah, I want to end this morning with the big takeaway from this. Guys, we cannot desire to be comfortable like Jonah and survive. Jonah desired his comfort so much that when Jonah didn't get his comfort, he just said, "Let me die. Not comfortable anymore. Let me die." Church, let's not be a people that lay down and die for your own personal survival, for the survival of this church, for the survival of the souls of those outside of these walls that God has called us to serve. Let's deny our personal comforts and our own personal desires and our own personal opinions and go. Arise and go. Because church, we have a message to celebrate. We have a people to win. We have a God to serve. And we have a life to live. And maybe you're here this morning. You feel like maybe you need to rededicate your service and your heart to God. And this is your time. And I invite you, if you want to come down here and you want to pray, if you want to pray with me, I'll be right here on the front row. We need to be a church that is obedient. When I look at the story of Jonah, this is what I see. The Lord wants us. This church needs us. And the lost outside of these walls, they're depending on us. So I pray that if you're here this morning, you will pray that God lights a fire under you again. God lights a fire underneath us again. And we are ready. We're ready for whatever God calls us. When God has another Nineveh call, the answer isn't, hey, I'm fleeing to Tarshish. The answer is, hey, where do I go? I'm ready. Church, let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the study of Nineveh, or Jonah, and the story of the people of Nineveh. Father, it reminds me of the people that we have here in Waleska. Father, we are called to serve them. We are called to preach and to evangelize and to share the message with them. Father, my prayer is that you open up opportunities. I thank you for the opportunity of December 7th. But Father, continue to open up opportunities for us in our day-to-day lives as we go to the store or meet people. Father, may we not be ashamed of you and our church. But Father, may we share of your good news and what you are doing here. Lord, we love you. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.